This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of joy.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles, coming to you from an altitude of 5,280 feet, of course. And I'm very excited today to have our esteemed guest coming from sea level, Dr. Christopher Kent. Before I further introduce him, I am going to say, please, if you enjoy Mile High Tech, make sure you hit subscribe, whether you're watching this on YouTube or Stitcher or iTunes or whatever social media channel it may be. We like to help you stay tuned with the latest information from Mile High. And of course, save the date for Mile High 2021. Which will be in June this year, June 3rd to 6th. We look forward to seeing you there. Today, one of my favorite people in chiropractic and many people's favorite person in chiropractic, Dr. Christopher Kent, who has served chiropractic in so many ways. He's not only a chiropractor, he's also an attorney. He's the CEO of On Purpose. He's the president of the Foundation for Vertebral Subluxation. He has a passion for facilitating human empowerment. He's spoken at Mile High. Obviously, people know him through his On Purpose episodes and on purpose subscription, and also serving Sherman College in the past on the Board of Trustees and now on campus. We are so grateful for all you do for chiropractic. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Christopher Kent.
Well, thank you. It's always fun to be with you. It's like the good old days.
Yes, it is. It is like the good old days. I still, Rochelle and I still finally talk about one time when we were flying out to CLA to Total Solution and running into you in the airport en route in New Jersey, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
So, and we're really excited about what recently transpired at Sherman College, the Immunity Conference. So let's start with that. First of all, it's 2020, so immunity is very high on the topic list of importance. So talk us a little bit about the impetus to do the program.
Well, a lot of things happen. And one thing that has always been a source of pride for me is the fact that whenever there's been a disaster, whether it was the 1918 pandemic, whether it was the events of 9/11 and chiropractors serving at Ground Zero, chiropractors has always stood up, came forth, served the people, and did their best to allow human potential to be expressed, nerve interference to be corrected, and people to return to their lives as best they could. So it was very upsetting to me when this all began in March for the fact that some chiropractic organizations, notably the World Federation of Chiropractic, came out with a statement saying that chiropractors should not talk about any relationship between chiropractic care and immunity. And they actually called for boards to discipline chiropractors who did so. And some boards joined the movement, and some disgruntled DC degree holders, I won't call them chiropractors, who chose to close their offices, spent their time instead of serving patients or practice members filing complaints against chiropractors who were. And Dr. McCoy and I, we just couldn't let that stand. So the idea was born to have a conference on immunity and chiropractic. And what we did almost instantly was come up with a scoping review of literature. In other words, a somewhat limited review of literature, but one that would be a precursor to a more comprehensive one. We responded to the WFC paper, pointing out its flaws, and we set the stage for what we hope will be a major research project involving chiropractors all over, looking at biomarkers associated with immune function. So we kicked it off on October 24th and 25th with the first conference on immunity in chiropractic. And, you know, you said it was at Sherman College. Well, Sherman College, you know, my department, the Office of Scholarly Activity, was one of the sponsors, but we couldn't have it at Sherman College because there wasn't enough room. We had 120 people, I believe, participate, and we ended up holding it at a conference center. But
I didn't even realize it. I thought it was on campus, so thank you for correcting
me. No. So what happened was, I said, gee, I wonder how many people will come. Well, you know, we were full. And then after the first day, I said, gee, I wonder how many will come back Sunday. Almost everyone. So it was a very successful conference on many levels. And we really had some outstanding people. I'll just read the list real quick. Joel Alcantara, Monique Andrews, Jonathan Chung, William Deccan, Amy Haas, myself, Christy Kwan, Terry Lancaster, Matt McCoy, Parkash Kumar, Simon Senzon, Ian Stuhlman, Antoinette Stiles, Steve Marini. So, you know, we had people that were DCs, MDs, MPHs, EIEIOs, you know, well-credentialed individuals who were presenting their understanding of these various aspects of immunity and chiropractic, starting with looking at the vagus nerve, heart rate variability and how these are associated with immunity, looking at the epidemiology of vertebral subluxation and its role in immunity and health policy. Because one thing I remember vividly, if you remember the late, great Dr. Boone, who I believe was at Sherman College when you were,
yep.
Brilliant guy, MD, PhD, served as president of some colleges. I remember when we were responding to some stuff that people on the other side of the aisle had produced. And I was talking about, well, so-and-so will say this and so-and-so will say that. And Ralph just kind of put it all to an end by saying, who are you trying to impress? The people who are trying to destroy you or the people who set policy and are open-minded? Well, change the whole thing. So again, looking at immunity and health policy, looking at how once you step out of Chiro land, real academics are fascinated by what we do, as you well know from your work, you know, with Edmund and his team. So after that, Monique Andrews spoke on a role for chiropractic and immunity, more than a gut feeling, talking about the enteric nervous system and its relationship to microflora and how all of that ties into chiropractic and the vertebral subluxation. Simon, of course, did his thing. I love the title of it, Lies, Damn Lies, and Deniers, talking about chiropractic identity discourse in the COVID crisis. Dr. Parkash Kumar, an MD, MPH, who's a member of the Sherman faculty, talked about the anatomy of the nervous, of the immune system as it related to the nervous system. Terry Lancaster, also known affectionately as Bird, talked about physiology. She did a great job. Bill Deccan talked about the role of adaptability and expression in chiropractic and immunity. Joel Alcantara, immunity, coherence, and a salutogenic framework of chiropractic care. Whereas Matt McCoy got into autonomy, consent, chiropractic, and medical paternalism. Subtitled, isn't it my immune system? In other words, don't people have a right to make their own decisions? Steve Marini, of course, spoke on they don't call it natural immunity for nothing. Very outstanding talk. I've seen Steve many times, and this was kind of a new one for me. I enjoyed it. Amy Haas, some of you know Amy, DC, PhD, you know, graduated from the, I believe it was the University of Wisconsin, or the, sorry, have to edit that. Anyway, do that again. And then, of course, there's Amy Haas, a DC PhD, who had worked at Harvard and had also been involved in some pretty heavy duty research talking about neuroendocrine immunology and chiropractic, how it's all connected. I spoke about research, legal and policy issues. Dr. Stiles spoke about plans for exploring the role of chiropractic on individual and community health, and Dr. Stolman, chiropractic care and immunity during pregnancy, infancy, and early development, because as we all know, the most important work we do in chiropractic is with newborns, infants, young people, so that they can live life through a nervous system without interference. So that was the event. And if you missed it, you missed it. It was recorded. I don't know yet if we'll be able to make the recordings available. We're looking at that. But it was great in part because it was alive. It was, and you can relate to this with Mile High. You know, we actually had humans there talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the pre-COVID days,
right?
In terms of chiropractors talking to chiropractors about principled chiropractic, how it relates to science, and how we can best serve our people. I'll tell you something I presented. I won't spend a lot of time on this, so I don't want this to be a monologue. But this is from the CDC, okay? And they looked at mental health, substance abuse, and suicidal ideation during the pandemic. Listen to this. During late June, 40% of U.S. adults reported struggling with mental health or substance abuse. 40%. 31% reported anxiety or depression symptoms, 26% trauma, stressor-related disorder symptoms, 13% started or increased substance abuse, and this is the one that just hit me between the eyes, 11% of U.S. adults seriously considered suicide. Now, we don't have to make any specific claims about the relationship between chiropractic care and pathogens, because that's not what we're about. We're about human potential and allowing individuals to express to the fullest extent possible their potential as human beings. And when you look at things like this, the collateral damage, the result of stealing their humanity from people, keeping people from interacting, keeping people from doing fulfilling work, shutting down small businesses. The effect is, as one person said, is the disease or the cure the worst of the two? We really need to look at that.
Right.
Bottom line is, this should be chiropractic's finest hour.
Oh, yeah.
Who else can do what we do in this pandemic situation to allow people to be free and effective?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I'll say first kudos to the foundation for putting this on and for Sherman College, his involvement. Mile High is an organization. We sponsored it because we know how crucial it is right now. And as, you know, someone who, it's kind of weird. I still think of myself as a young guy in chiropractic, but like now my background goes back 25 years. So I don't know what that considers me. Maybe I'm a middle-aged chiropractic, in terms of,
I'm what we used to make fun of when I was a student.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, these old timers.
Right.
Talking about innate intelligence and stuff.
But I remember the things you mentioned of serving people during 9/11 when I was in practice. Obviously, it was in Colorado, but people were traumatized in Colorado, you know, yes, emotionally, mentally about it. And really being grateful to serve people when they were under quite a bit of distress. And also during economic crashes and things like that, how people really flocked to us as a practitioner, like so happy to be there for them, not for musculoskeletal concerns, but changes in their well-being and their health-related quality of life.
Yes.
And in taking care of people now, I will tell you, as someone who practices in one of the states that had a board and governor that, you know, gave instructions to close offices, one of the few states, sadly, that had these ridiculous instructions, in my opinion, you know, it was very emotional. You feel like your hands were tied when you know that this is when you are needed most. Like, you have a calling to serve people. You take an oath to serve people. And this is like, I was eager to be on the front line as a chiropractor, serving people when they need us, our patients, and, you know, they were calling us and emailing us and wanted our care. And I have to say, as a practitioner, now that we've been open, Rochelle and I have been open and taking care of people day in and day out, people have been so grateful. It has not been normal practice. However, the gratitude has been exponential. Mm-hmm. And people have, the experience has been probably one of the most gratifying, exhausting, and gratifying in my professional career, because people have needed us and been so grateful. Sometimes this is the only place they go is their chiropractic office. So we're like the first place they went out of their house to when they could. So exactly what you said. And I'm so glad so many people showed up at this conference. I'd like to ask you this. What was the tone of the attendees?
The tone of the attendees was enthusiasm. It's always a joy when people who have a similar vision get together and you have that resonance, you have that coherence, as you often talk about in your clinical work. It's a very powerful thing. You know, those of us who have been involved in teaching seminars, the energy, the feel, the ambiance with a group like that is so different from what I, for lack of a better term, will call a license renewal crowd.
Right.
That's just there to get their tickets stamped and they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
These were obviously caring, committed people who had enough passion to make the trip, to get on an airplane and get into town and travel to a kind of remote venue, you know, Spartanburg, you know, it's not exactly Chicago or Newark or Denver in terms of air travel, but they made the effort to get here and they participated. And, you know, I think everyone left with a renewed sense of commitment and vision. And as we say in On Purpose, you are not alone. It's great to know that you're not alone.
Yes, and I think people were very eager. People gave rave reviews to the program. They were eager to get the information. And mm-hmm. I certainly know that there's many that are hoping that the recordings will be available. So we're keeping our fingers crossed on that.
Well, we're also hoping that there are people that will be ready to participate when we roll out our practice-based research network.
Well, tell us about that. What's that?
Well, it's going to be expensive, to be honest with you. We've estimated probably about $250,000 or so, and we've already committed some to it. And what we hope to do is to have chiropractors all over collecting data that we can use that may involve biomarkers, paper and pencil tests, looking at health-related quality of life, looking at sense of coherence and salutogenesis. We haven't identified everything we're going to do yet. We've looked at some salivary tests that can be used that would obviate the need for blood testing, but that might be another arm, no pun. But I think it's going to be very exciting because when we can say we have, you know, as you folks did with that early study that, to my knowledge, is still the largest study in chiropractic, with Dr. Blanks as the lead investigator with 2,800 plus people in over 100 some offices. You know, it was very powerful. And we hope to do something similar to that. So when people say, well, we've got speculation, wishful thinking, and we just don't like what you're doing, we can say, well, we really don't care. Here's what the evidence says.
Yeah, and what we both know that a lot of the "we don't like what you're doing" is a political agenda. It's not about science or helping people.
Of course. Dr. Stan Pierce was here the other day, and we were having a conversation about what it was like. And, you know, we talked about the AMA's former campaign to contain and eliminate chiropractic. And he said, well, I figured out the contain part. It's to limit us, or attempt to limit us, to being a medical specialty focused on musculoskeletal pain and non-surgical interventions for same. And I said, yeah, that's the contain part. The eliminate part is to fail to differentiate what we do from what practitioners of spinal manipulation do. Because if there's no difference between the services offered by a chiropractor or a physical therapist or a physical medicine specialist or an athletic trainer who's taken a weekend course in spinal manipulation, we have nothing to offer. But if, on the other hand, our focus is on a unique service, a non-duplicating service, a service that isn't competitive with the diagnosis and treatment of disease, but rather is a salutogenic service focused on empowering people to create health, which is complete physical, mental, and social well-being. It's not merely the absence of disease or infirmity, as the World Health Organization has stated. The World Health Organization hasn't really embraced that. They're still chasing diseases. We as chiropractors have a way to bring to the world a lot of the theoretical constructs that some of the best minds in philosophy, in basic science, and clinical science have been studying, but don't really have an effective means of operationalizing. And we do.
Right.
And to me, that's just incredibly exciting stuff. So kind of my epiphany was I've got to stop banging my head against a cement wall, trying to open the minds of people who have a pernicious agenda for our vision, and instead say, I'm going to focus on, of course, any open-minded chiropractor, but perhaps even more importantly, to those outside the profession. Who are interested in hearing what we have to say.
Yes, and that's all vital. As I'm listening to it, I'm getting goosebumps, because this is, you know, been my purpose and drive for so many years at this point. And, you know, with this conference, can you share anything about the funds that were raised? I heard there was funds raised at the event. I don't know what organization for. I'm assuming it's for the foundation, but
yes,
I don't know.
All of the money goes to the foundation. I don't know any organization in chiropractic really that gives you as much for as little as we do. We are very serious stewards of our very limited resources. We found ways to use students to give them scholarships as research fellows, to find people within the profession who are willing to do some volunteer work, others who are willing to do so very inexpensively, collaborating with other universities and educational institutions that have an interest in our work and want to participate. But the most important thing, in my opinion, about the foundation is that, unlike some people who sell subluxation research and deliver spinal manipulation research, we don't do that. We commit ourselves to vertebral subluxation research. If a journal doesn't like that word, we don't publish in it, because there are plenty that don't have a problem with it. And that's just the way we are. So when you contribute to the Foundation for Vertebral Subluxation, you're contributing to truth in labeling, good stewardship of your funds, and also to the future of your profession, quite literally. You know, in my role, and also because I'm an attorney, and Matt McCoy's role as the individual involved in a professional liability company, you know, people call us all the time looking for research to support claims that they've made. And of course, I always tell people, before you make your claim, have the papers in your hand. Don't call me up and say something like, I've got the chief of oncology of our local hospital here on the table, and I was telling him all the stuff we could do for people with tumors. Could you fax it over? Whoa. or another favorite of mine was a guy who called and said, I'm in the middle of a deposition and they're asking me all these questions about MRI. I told him I needed a break. Can you kind of explain it to me? These would be amusing if they weren't true. But having qualified research and having individuals that make reasonable statements that can be supported by research, to individuals involved in public policy, I think is something that's really needed in chiropractic. And again, it's all part of a plan. We're not just haphazardly pursuing what someone has a research interest in. That's a luxury that some liberal arts colleges can afford, mm-hmm. and some medical institutions can afford. We're saying we are looking at the role of vertebral subluxation in immune function so we can gather publishable evidence that can be used to influence public policy. And when that happens, the world really does change more than one spine at a time.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I know very much so, Ralph Boone saying that many a time that, we need to be in a much better position than one spine at a time.
I always said, well, what do they think we should do? Have a bunch of adjusting instruments and have four people set up and push the button so you get four at once. I don't know what they mean, or open adjusting. I don't know what they mean by more than one spine at a time or why they disparage that. But the idea is that we need to create an awareness of chiropractic to create a demand for chiropractic so that people understand it. And then we, of course, have to have the technology to deliver the promise.
And I have to encourage people. I just happen to have this here, it really just happened to be here to encourage people to be a donor. We're supporters. Mile High is. Mm-hmm. We can't really encourage people to do that without more research. And there is plenty of research, and we can always use more. Everything needs more research.
Absolutely, and it doesn't take much. For example, you can join the President's Club for, $100 a month.
Right, right. So,
and that really makes a difference.
I think it's one.
We get 1,000 people doing that. We've got some funds to work with.
Right, one or two adjustment visits a month, giving that to chiropractic.
Exactly.
And in the future of it. Now, and I cannot encourage that enough. We will definitely put the link to this in with the episode for people to donate, the donate link, in the foundation. So you have to write it down now, but it will be there. And I'd like to ask this for the people that are listening now, watching now, however they're consuming this, what are some chiropractic and immune highlights that maybe were shared at the event that people could say, oh, I didn't know that?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people don't realize that this concept of control of immunogenesis by the nervous system has been around quite a while. And I remember when I was teaching at Palmer, I came across a Russian manuscript by that title, Control of Immunogenesis by the Nervous System. And it was by a group of Russian scientists, and they were talking about this. We looked into some of the historic literature, as we said, with the 1918 flu pandemic, and also some survey research that was done with chiropractic and infectious disease. Very exciting stuff. And you say, well, that stuff old. Well, so am I. But nevertheless, if we look at the contemporary stuff, Nature, which is a very prestigious publishing group, just came out with a special issue on the relationship between neuroimmune function and health and how there's a bidirectional communication, a dance, as it were, between the nervous system and the immune system and the signaling that goes on when the body faces a challenge. We looked at things like heart rate variability and its relationship to vagal function and how that modulates the immune system. I did a brief piece on some of the stuff that was in that special Nature issue on the mucosa and the skin and how the nervous system and the immune system have, again, this two-way communication, this conversation, dare I say it, this dance that they do to allow the individual to effectively deal with incoming pathogens, to be kind of the gatekeeper. And the skin and the mucosa. And we talked about how when we're speaking of a respiratory pathogen like COVID-19, things like mucosal barriers become pretty important. So does the relationship of the immune system. So do inflammatory processes. And again, tying this all to the integration of the various communication systems within the body. That was something else that we discussed briefly, how, you know, we have basically four mechanisms. The diffusion of particles along concentration gradients, that's stuff with osmosis and diffusion and so forth. The diffusion of quanta along electromagnetic gradients, electrochemical signals like the EEG, ECG, EMG, et cetera. Transmission within structured channels, which scales, how we have everything from exoplasmic flow to the flow within cells themselves, and the interface between the internal and the external environment. And finally, we look at wave propagation, how we're dealing with communication using vibrations. You know, things like DD talked about, tone, tensegrity, how things like compression rarefaction phenomenon, like hearing and so forth, are involved, as well as soliton waves, and how these various physical mechanisms relate to biological mechanisms in the nervous system and the immune system, and how what we need to do now is to build that bridge between correction of vertebral subluxation and a measurable health benefit.
Yes. So much yes. And I have to say, one thing that if people don't do, be a subscriber to On Purpose, because you put out this kind of information frequently for subscribers.
Yeah, every month we come out with three programs. One of the most popular, of course, is the science program, where we go over the latest journal articles, how they relate to chiropractic, how they relate to your practice in the real clinical world, how some of these basic science concepts, as well as publications in chiropractic and other journals, can be made relevant for you. The second deals with politics, and this is the part I've actually had a couple people say, well, I never listened to politics. Well, you know, you can also say I'd never call the fire department if my house were on fire, but probably not a good idea. You know, politics, I think, is essential. You have to know what's going on politically. You have to be cognizant of what the political organizations are trying to do to suppress your ability to practice. You have to, as you have become active politically, so that you don't find yourself the victim of the deniers and the antis. Become involved with the board. Become involved not with any old association, but one that holds your core values and is congruent with your core values. And if you do those things, you can change the world. So that's why we need the second one. And the third one, of course, is philosophy. And that usually includes an interview with someone like you or your dad or a bunch of other people, you know, people that are making a difference in chiropractic and can share with you some of the strategies that they've used to achieve success.
You know, one of the things that I remember, since you're right now, as I can see, at Sherman College, that when I was a student, that Tom Gilardi had said, that I still remember it very vividly, sitting in the room in the assembly room, and he had said, that your professional dues, your association dues, your state dues and national association dues are your rent. You know, contributing to those things, those that you're aligned with, obviously, and no chiropractic pun intended, but those that you're aligned with, it's like keeping your lights on, which would
absolutely
be, you know, the foundation, contributing to that, your state and, you know, and national association, whichever, you know, that are, that represent it, and also an educational institution like Sherman College. Those are vital. That they need to be on your monthly, expenses, right? And they're not really an expense, they're an investment on chiropractic's future that you're making.
Absolutely. And, you know, you have your time, you have your talent, you have your money. You know, if you're not a PhD researcher with time on your hands that can actually get into the nuts and bolts of it, you can contribute to people who are. If you're not a lobbyist in Washington, you can contribute to people who are supporting those. If you're not a member of your state board, you can contribute to a state association that makes that happen, so that your views are protected and your interests effectively represented. So when we look at this integrated plan of policy, legislation, science, and what it all boils down to is improved strategies to serve our patients and to expand our capacity to see more patients. And that's what it's all about, so that every person who desires chiropractic care can get it.
And get it because get it whether they have symptoms or not.
Well, of course. And, you know, as I've often said, I don't want to go down that bunny hole. But I said, who but these goofy denialist chiropractors are critical of taking care of patients without symptoms? I said, in every other medical specialty I know of, that's the goal. You know, do you wait for an abscess before you see the dentist? No, it's the whole idea of going every 6 months and having your cleaning.
Well, yeah. You know,
go to a medical practitioner, they check your blood pressure. Do they say, well, it's up, but we're going to wait till a vessel busts until we do something? No, you know, the idea is if there's demonstrable deviation from what appears to be what's right for you, it's reasonable to intervene, you know?
Right.
Well, you have cancer, but we're going to wait till it metastasizes. You're not feeling anything. I mean, what's the whole idea of screening, you know?
To get to a baseline, and then optimizing is a whole other conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I'm not saying that we're doing this to prevent medical conditions, because that's the pathologic model.
Right.
The salutogenic model says, regardless of what health challenges you're facing, or even if you're apparently not, we have a strategy to empower you as a human being. I remember one of the lectures that Reggie used to give that I thought was really kind of cool. And we've all heard and seen him do his thing with the rheostat and the light bulb, you know, where he talks about, you know, that. And I remember he was giving a talk once, and the light bulb was kind of on in the background, and he really didn't say anything about it. And he said, to the audience, take a look at this light bulb. Is it working right? And, you know, basically, yeah, everybody thought it was working fine. And then he turned it up and he said, but it could be glowing like this. And that's what chiropractic is about.
Right.
You know, we've all in practice experienced individuals that have talked about favorable changes in their lives that occurred after they received care, and we didn't even know that they had those problems or challenges,
right,
or that
right,
they were now able to experience more of life and do things that they didn't think they would ever be able to do.
Right.
That's the magic of what we do, and that's why we cannot allow individuals to stand in our way of doing that. We can't allow individuals to prevent us from telling the chiropractic story, or worse, preventing practice members and patients from telling their stories.
And
we have to get the word out there.
The main reason is actually, in my mind, because of not chiropractors' needs, but the public, the public that we serve losing out. I mean, I, as a practitioner, how frequently I've been told by people that are seeking care or seeking our services, told by their allopathic provider, you know, well, you can't do anything about it. You know, it is compromised, and just keep going until it gets really bad. Right? And then you need surgery. When you need surgery, come back to me. You're not there yet. You know, is that what we want to do with the whole life experience? That's the you know, chiropractors, especially in this, the circumstances of 2020, provide such a valuable resource to people. And to be told in many different ways to not discuss it in different, you know, or not, and not offer it, not as a treatment for, you know, immune conditions, clearly, or treatment for anything that, but to be in somewhat be told to, hey, be quiet, don't rock the boat, is really disheartening. So I'm so grateful for the work of the foundation. So grateful to, that's just that the FES, step forward about this.
Well, thank you. And we certainly appreciate the support that you've given our work throughout the years in so many different ways, from Mile High donations to personal donations and support, to stage time. We're very aware of that, very appreciative of it.
And I like more people to do so. So I hope the people that listen to this gain and watch this gain something for it and continue to support the FES, up their donation, or begin to, because again, sincerely, it's your rent, for practice. And you'd be also be very well advised to up your knowledge by listening to On Purpose as well. Is there any final thing that you'd like to share with the audience, Dr. Kent?
Well, I'll just share with you a quote that I really like, and that was from Victor Hugo, who's credited with having said, there's nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And my response to that is, sounds good, but there's more. The thing that's far more powerful than such an idea is a single person who has the vision, the passion, the commitment, and the technical skill to make that a reality. And we're literally betting the future of the world that that's you.
Absolutely. Again, Dr. Kent, thank you so much for what you're doing at Sherman, what you're doing for the foundation, all that you've done for years through On Purpose, and all the other avenues that you're contributing. We, the profession, and also gratitude, and so do I. And I know you don't want the gratitude as much as you want more people to pick up the what's it called? The torch.
Absolutely. You know, as I've said, I'm a lot closer to the marble orchard than the birth canal. And I want to know that when I'm gone, this vision lives on.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, thank you so much. And everyone, thank you for being a fan of the Mile High podcast and attending Mile High, and also for loving the same principles of myself and Dr. Kent, and let's mention Dr. McCoy, since we're talking about the foundation, and you know, so value, because really, truly, it's vital that we're at a crossroads in chiropractic, that we have that crossroads go in the, you know, lead the profession in a better direction. So thank you, and thank you for changing spines, lives, and minds with chiropractic. We look forward to seeing people at Mile High live. You know, we had it live anyway, but we'll see you live in June, during the 2020, but it's in 2021, June 3rd to 6th. That information is at milehighchiroregistration.com. And as I said, keep changing spines, lives, and minds with chiropractic. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Kent.
Thank you, Danny. Enjoyed it.